Hi, I'm Andrew Burton, features editor of SearchStorage.com, and I'm here today with Robin Harris, senior analyst with the Data Mobility Group. Thanks for joining me today, Robin. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. Thank you.
Great. Today we're going to be talking about clustered NAS, so let's get right into it. From what I'm hearing, vendors are addressing high-performance NAS needs with clustering. What is clustered NAS, and what are its benefits?
Well, basically, any kind of a cluster is when you've got multiple machines working together. Now, those machines may be blades in a blade server, or they may be individual servers in a rack, or large servers scattered around a computer room. But the key is that you've got software that ties these systems together into a single system, and yet, because it's a cluster, it gives you availability and typically scalability benefits that a single machine can't give you.
Okay, sounds good. How do clustered NAS systems achieve high performance?
Well, remember that most NAS systems use Ethernet, gigabit Ethernet, and probably soon 10 gig-E to communicate with the servers. So one of the things that a cluster architecture gives you is the ability to have multiple parallel I/O links back to the server farm. And that's really the key issue. You can't make Ethernet go any faster, but at least you can, as you scale up the cluster, you can have more parallel data links and get a greater aggregate bandwidth.
Okay. In terms of management, do clustered NAS systems have the same management features as traditional NAS? Or, and if they don't, where do they fall short?
Well, that's a very interesting question because, in fact, the largest NAS clusters out there are not from any vendor that you can buy from. So Google has quite a few petabytes of data stored on its Google file system and the Bigtable storage system. Amazon uses clustered storage that they've built using commodity hardware to keep track of your money and ship you goods. So that's a real enterprise class application from a multi-billion dollar corporation. So what those two have done and what I see more vendors moving towards is the cluster software itself takes care of your availability. And so it makes sure that your data is replicated across multiple servers. For example, Google doesn't use RAID at all. They just, by default, they replicate files three times. If a particular piece of content gets real popular, they might replicate it, a dozen times or more in order to get the aggregate bandwidth they need. And so that when a system fails, and of course both Amazon and Google design their systems for failure, the software sees that failure and automatically handles it. So there really is no management required. In Google's case, they send a guy with a shopping cart down the racks, once a week or so to pull out the broken stuff and put in, stuff that's working. It's a pretty relaxed model of management compared to what most enterprise IT people are used to. So when you ask the question, does it have the same management capability, it really has a different focus. And the focus is, how do we make commodity hardware as available as the very fancy, very expensive enterprise IT hardware? And it's a different approach, and it's using the software to create that availability rather than trying to build the availability into the hardware. So It's a different model. Now, in terms of all the features and, you know, snapshot copies and continuous data protection and things like that, again, these systems tend to take a different approach. And some of the systems that are commercially available, like Panasis, have all those capabilities and very high performance. Some of the other systems, like Isilon, they try to create an environment where very little management is required. You basically, you add the hardware, it integrates itself with the cluster, and it starts offloading your existing hardware, and you really don't have to do anything. So it's the model is a little bit different than standard enterprise NAS arrays.
Okay, thank you. What is global NIB space, and how does it work, and what are the benefits?
Well, a global namespace is simply a way of saying that all of your files on your NAS are available from a single, you know, there's a single system view of all the files in your NAS. So in a more traditional NAS environment where you might have a number of NAS heads, each NAS head has its own set of files that it's managing and controlling. And so you have to know, basically where that file is, or you've got to be attached to that particular server in order to access that particular file. With a global namespace, all of the files that are on all of the NAS servers are basically aggregated, and so you can reach them from any server that's attached to that NAS head with the global namespace. There are a lot of differences in implementation, though. And in my view, having a global namespace in and of itself isn't optimal for NAS, because what can frequently happen is that, you know, just like on a disk where you get hotspotting, with NAS you can get hotspotting. You know, a file gets to be popular, a lot of people are hitting on it, and even if you've got a global namespace and 100 of your servers can see it, or 100 clients can see it, if you've just got one NAS head that's serving that file, you may run out of bandwidth or compute cycles to service all of those clients. So what you'd really like to have is an environment, an infrastructure that can serve that file from multiple servers, and that's what clusters, a true cluster, typically gives you, that a pure global namespace approach might not.
Okay. I just have one final question. It's sort of a practical question. Where's the return on investment on a sort of high-performance clustered NAS system? How do storage professionals justify the expense of this kind of a system?
Well, typically, the justification is pretty straightforward, because a essentially commodity-based clustered NAS system that relies on multiple servers for availability rather than costly hardware engineering typically will run you anywhere from, 30 to 60% less than a conventional NAS server approach. So the real issue for most enterprises, as I see it, is that they are looking at dealing with vendors that they haven't dealt with before. You know, whether you like EMC or NetApp or not, they're a known quantity out there in the marketplace. But when you're, looking at a company like Guybricks or Lefthand or Isilon, it's there's a lot more, at least perceived uncertainty about dealing with those folks. I think this year's introduction by EMC of its Hulk and Maui combination, which is a clustered solution. I don't think it's a NAS solution particularly, but EMC will be introducing a clustered storage system this year. That's what they've said. And I think that's what's really going to kind of open a lot of people's eyes to the fact that, gee, there is this new technology out there, and it does have real benefits. And at that point, people will have to start, will want to start educating themselves about the technology, the trade-offs, the benefits. And I think what they'll find, what Google and Amazon have found, which is you can save a lot of money going this way without losing your availability or performance that you associate with Enterprise NAS.
Okay, that sounds good. That's it for me. Thanks a lot for your time today, Robin.
Hey, my pleasure, Andrew. Anytime.
Okay, you can learn more about NAS and other storage-related topics on searchstorage.com, and be sure to check out Robin's blog, storagemojo.com.